الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة لقمان اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة ان اشكر لله ومن يشكر فانما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فان الله غني حميد الى قوله واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك ان انكر الاصوات لصوت الحمير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You must be remembering that in the previous session I recited all the 8 ayat of the ruku or section number 2 of Surah Luqman. And I also gave the full translation of all these ayat or the whole of the passage. Then we made a comparative study of the main contents and points contained in these 8 ayat with the main points of the first 2 lessons that we have already studied, that is Surah Al-Asr and Ayat al-Birr. And we noted, and it is to be noted again, that the same 4 things which have been mentioned in Surah Al-Asr as the conditions for salvation, the prerequisites of success in the hereafter, they have been mentioned here also. Although there is different terminology, and this is the style of the Quran, same topics, same issues being discussed in different terms, different terminology. We have a very beautiful saying in Urdu, ek phool ka mazmoo ho to 100 rang se bandho, describing one flower, but it can take so many forms of description, so many styles. So we find it in the Quran also that the most important subjects are discussed again and again, repeated again and again, but there is no monotony. There is a change in style, change in wordings, so that actually one is not bored. Rather, it adds to his understanding. Now what were those 4 things that were mentioned in Surah Al-Asr? Iman. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي قُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Here in this ruku of Surah Luqman, although the term Iman has not appeared, and that is very important, the connotation of this point I will be discussing in the end, inshallah, of this lesson. But we find that there should be thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anishkur lillah. One should refrain from committing shirk with him, associating or ascribing any partners or equals with him. Then we find the mention of reward of actions, deeds, actions, howsoever small they may be. They may be like a grain of a mustard, and it might be anywhere, But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth. So Iman Billah and Iman Bil Akhirah, both have been mentioned. Then we find from the Amal Salih, we have the gratitude and service and good behavior and gentleness to parents. Then Salah has been mentioned. Then there shouldn't be haughtiness, pride. On the contrary, one should have humility. So these are some aspects of Al-Amal Salih. Then we had for the Tawasi Bil Haq, an absolutely new and very important and fundamental term of the Quran. Amr Bil Ma'ruf, Nahi Anil Munkar. Enjoining whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is good. And forbidding from whatever is wrong, whatever is unjust, whatever is false. And the last thing that we had in Surah Al-Asr, Sabr. Here again we have, Wasbir ala ma asabak. So the basic teaching is the same. But the contexts are different. There these four things were mentioned as the prerequisites of salvation on the Day of Judgment. Here the main topic is the wisdom of Quran. The wisdom of Quran, what are the fundamentals, how it is built, what are the premises, how you go forward step by step, that is the issue and that we shall be inshallah discussing in detail today. Now the basic teachings of the Quran actually, the point which has been made in this passage especially is that the basic teachings of the Quran and for that matter, teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are in full consonance and complete conformity with the nature as well as the intellect of man, provided the nature remains pure, it is not polluted, or it is not perverted, and the reasoning and intellect of man is working under the guidance of that pure nature. And for this purpose, the example of Hazrat Luqman has been cited. I told you, it is generally accepted, nearly consensus on this point, that he was not a Nabi, nor was he a follower of any Nabi. And as I said, there is an internal evidence in the text also to this effect that I shall discuss later. But a simple person, having good nature, pure nature, unperverted nature, unpolluted nature, and having simple but healthy reasoning and intellect, he reached the same conclusions which are being taught by Quran and which have been taught by all the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We noted in the last session who was Hazrat Luqman. I told you that there is general consensus of the Sahaba, Rizwanul Ta'if alayhim wa alayhim ajma'in, that he was an Abyssinian. He belonged to Nubia. Nubia was either the name of the place or of the tribe to which he belonged. Then he had migrated from Abyssinia to Eilat or Eilah, which is the port at the northern end of the Gulf of Aqaba. And so there started the 6-day war of September 1967, the deadly war between Israel and the Arab countries. That is the place where he lived. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he was black by complexion, having very thick lips, ugly to look, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him wisdom. And this is actually the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to anybody he likes. Let me quote the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 269. Yuti hikmata man yasha. Allah gives hikmah. Allah bestows wisdom to whosoever he wants, to whosoever he likes. Yuti hikmata man yasha. وَمَنْ يُوتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And whoever is given hikmah, he has been given the biggest good, khair kaseer, faqad utiya khairan kaseera. This is the biggest good that can be given to any human being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the importance of this hikmah we can understand by another ayah of the Quran also. Rather, I should say the ayat. Because thrice in the Quran those words appear which tell us that the final stage of the education and training and teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the teaching of hikmah. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ So it's the topmost thing. The teachings of the Prophet, the training of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were stages. And the last stage is the teaching of hikmah. So actually, this ayah, يُوتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُوتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And there is another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this hikmah can be found anywhere. The Prophet said, Al-Hikmatu Dallatul Mumin, huwa ahakku biha haythu wajadaha. Hikmah and wisdom is like a lost property of the Mumin. And he has more right to have it, to get it, wherever he finds it. He will take it as if it was something which belonged to him originally, but it was lost. الحكمه ضاله المؤمن هو احق بها حيث وجدها. So actually now I want to discuss a very fundamental issue. What is meant by hikmah and how is it different from falsafa? They are very close to each other. The subject matter of both is the same. Hikmah also wants to solve the mysteries of nature. Philosophy also wants to understand what is this existence, what is the nature of existence. So actually the subject matter is common. But there is a world of difference between hikmah as given in Quran and falsafa or philosophy as we know it. What's hikmah? Actually, حَكَمَ يَحْكُمُ means in Arabic, firstly, to frame an opinion, to make a judgment, and then to pass the verdict, to declare the judgment. There are two stages of حَكَمَ يَحْكُمُ. And you must be remembering those three ayat of the Quran, included in one section of Surah Al-Ba'idah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ So حَكَمَ يَحْكُمُ. First of all, you frame an idea, you frame a judgment, and then you proclaim it, and you declare it, and you pass the verdict. So this is حَكَمَ يَحْكُمُ. And حِكْمَة. Hikmah is a condition when the human reasoning and intellect has become mature enough, but it works under the guidance of an unpolluted nature, so that now it can frame correct opinions and it can make correct judgments. What is that nature? Quran calls that nature fitrah. As we find in Surah Ar-Rum, ayah number 30, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. Nature, human nature. That is human nature. If it is saleem, الْفِطْرَةُ السَّلِيمَةُ الْأَقْلُ السَّلِيمُ الْقَلْبُ السَّلِيمُ إِلَّا مَنَاتَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. When this nature, human nature, is unimpaired, unpolluted, unperverted, actually it leads the human reasoning in the right direction. And then you reach the realities of this universe. You recognize Allah. You realize Allah within your own self. And you can yourself reach the conclusion that this world of ours and this life that we are passing here, it is not sufficient. There must be another life. There must be another alam. How? That I will explain, inshallah, very shortly. Now, if you compare this hikmah to philosophy, what's the difference? Philosophy, in philosophy we find pure reasoning. Now, this word I borrowed from Kant, as I told you. He wrote a very epoch-making book, and that is, so to say, the opening book of the modern era in Western philosophy. Critique of pure reason. When you are going only through reason, you are ignoring what your intuition is telling you, what your nature is guiding you. You are not taking to the guidance of your nature, your intuition, something within you. And you want to only follow the reasoning, pure reasoning. The inevitable result of the philosophy which is based on reasoning and logic only is either agnosticism or skepticism. Either man says and is compelled to say, we cannot know anything. This cannot be solved. We cannot know what is reality. Agnosticism. Knowledge impossible. Or skepticism. Irtiyabiyat. You become skeptic about everything. Because pure logic doesn't take you anywhere. Let me quote a saying of a big philosopher. He defines philosophy as, philosophy is the art of finding bad reasons for what man believes intuitionally. There's something within you, and that gives you some guidance. And now you are trying to rationalize it, to find reasonings for it, some logical proofs for it. So actually, philosophy is the name of finding bad reasons for what you believe intuitionally, or you believe on instincts. So actually philosophy, pure philosophy, you must have pondered over this word. What is this word philosophy? Philo, philo means language. Philology. Philology is the science of language. And sophy. Sophy means to sophisticate something. To dress up something. To make something look good. To make something fashionable. So fashioning of the logic is philosophy. Nothing more than that. But when this faculty of reasoning, it takes the guidance of the nature, both things going side by side, now the results will be correct. They will be absolutely beneficial for the humanity. They will take you to the right conclusions. So that is actually the difference between philosophy and hikmah. And I told you yesterday that the word is used in English language also, sages. Philosophers and sages. Sages actually, this word, you know, denotes those persons who didn't use philosophy only, but they were good-natured, and they took the guidance from their nature also, from their intuition also. Not only the head, but the heart was also at work. When both head and heart go to work together, the resultant is hikmah. When only brain is working, only reasoning, only rationalization, pure reasoning, this is philosophy. Now, what are the fundamentals of nature? I have explained the word, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. And indeed we had bestowed upon Luqman the wisdom, the hikmah. Now we know what is hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with hikmah. With the result that, anishkur lillah, this is the relationship between these two parts of this ayah. Hikmah will inevitably lead to thankfulness and gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have to explain it how. What's the analysis? Actually, as I told you yesterday, it's the fundamental sign that the nature of a person is pure, that he should be thankful to any person who is doing any good to him. This is the sign. Shukr. Gratefulness to the benefactor. Whosoever has provided you with some need, whosoever has fed you, whosoever has helped you in any difficulty, whosoever has been beneficent to you in any way, the normal reaction of human nature should be, there should be gratitude. And this should be spontaneous. Now if we try to understand the word, you know, shukr, what is it in Arabic language? They call Ainun Shakra. Ainun Shakra is the spring in which water is gushing out from the ground. In the same manner, if something good is done to somebody, this gratitude, these feelings of gratitude, they spring from the bottom of his heart. In the same way, the Arabs use the word Dabbatun Shakur. There's an animal, a cow, a buffalo, a sheep, a goat. You are taking care of it, you are feeding it properly. And now the signs and effects of your care and feeding appear on the body of that animal. It's getting healthier, fattier. So this is Dabbatun Shakur. It is showing off that something good is being done to it. So actually this is shukr. When the effects of some ni'mah, some benefaction that appear, it is shukr. And as I was describing, you know, there are three levels of shukr, three stages of shukr according to Imam Raghib al-Isfahani. But I omitted one. First is shukr bil qalb. You must have the feeling that somebody has done something good for you. This is shukr bil qalb. And you must be able to understand how big a service he has done to you, how precious a thing he has given to you, because the shukr will be proportionate to your understanding of the value of the thing that has been given to you. Number two is the shukr bil lisan. Let me cite here the example of Quran. This is the biggest manifestation of the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman wa 'allama al-Quran. Now we should understand how big, you know, a boon it is, how big a ni'mah it is, how precious a thing it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And then we should thank Him with words and with our tongue. Alhamdulillah illazi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu imaja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the wordings also. Thank me with these words. Alhamdulillah illazi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu imaja. All praise and gratitude is for Allah who has sent down this book on his bondsman Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So actually, this is the thanking, this is shukr bil lisan. And then shukr bil jawarih. You should fulfill the rights of this book. You should take the benefit out of it. If you are not taking the benefit out of it, this is the real kufr, this is kufran. We call it kufran in ni'mah. You have not put it to the best of the use. You have not benefited from it. Supposing a father brings some very good book for his son. The son is cultured, civilized. He says, thank you, Dad. But then he keeps the book, you know, in some shelf, doesn't read it. It is kufr. He has thanked the father. All right. But so to say, it was a habit. Only habitually he has thanked. He didn't understand. what good the father has done to him by giving him this book. Had he the feeling that the value of this book is so high, he would have read it. He would have benefited from it. So actually, you can call it shukr bil amal. But the term used by Imam Raghib is shukr bil jawarih. Because for all ni'am, for all the boons from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you have to benefit from them. And that is the practical shukr that you are doing with the whole your body and your personality. Now, nature tells you that you must be grateful to whosoever has done something good to you. Number two, it's also the nature. If we peep into our own hearts, we shall find the testimony from within our own selves. This is also the demand of nature. That if somebody has done some good to you, you must also try to repay, to do something in exchange for him, to serve him, to repay him. And that is the basis of the concept of huquq in Islam. Your parents have huquq over you. Why? They have brought you up. They reared you. They brought you up. They fed you. They invested themselves into you. So now they have rights over you. You have to repay. If somebody has done any good to you, any person who's good natured, he will try to do something in return to repay. Number three, if that person is so high, so beyond reach, you can't return, you can't do any good to him in return, then praise him, bow before him, worship him. This is the philosophy, this is the basis of all religion. Gratitude for the benefactor, number one. The urge to repay, to return, to do something in return. If it can be done, you have done some good to me, I have also in return done something for you. It's okay. You gave me some present, I also something I gifted to you in return. It's all okay. But if the person is so high, for example, it's the sun. We know that our harvests are ripe due to this heat of the sun. Now our harvest, we are being fed by it. The sun is a very big benefactor for humanity. What can we do for it? Praise it. Accept him. Accept it as a god. Worship it. Bow to fear it. So these three things, these are in one logical line. Shukr for any benefactor. Try to return, and if you can't, then praise him. And if it is a very high person, worship him. Now, what is the function of the reasoning of the intellect? You must know and recognize your real benefactor. Now there is process, evolution. When the child is very small, his mind is very small, he knows only the father and the mother. They care for me, they love me, they feed me, they protect me. So all these sentiments which I enumerated, they are centered on the parents. Love, affection, gratitude, everything for the parents. Now he is growing up. His mental horizon is widening up. No, no. It's my whole family. My cousins are also there. They do protect me from enemies. If this horizon is widening, my whole nation, my country, then it goes to the forces of the nature. These winds which are blowing, they bring rain to us. The sun which is shining, by its heat our harvests are ripening. So now the gratitude, the same gratitude, actually the seed is now exfoliating, because now the horizon, mental horizon is widening, and it can grow to the whole of universe, because this full universe is working. as an organic whole to provide us. This earth is giving us our food. So that is why they have been calling Mother Earth. And this is the Devi, Goddess Earth. Why? It is feeding us. It gives us food. Why has sun been taken to be God? Due to its heat, our harvests are ripening. And so on. And then the last jump of the intellect, of the reasoning is that whole of this universe, all the forces of the nature, they are controlled by some one person. It's a very integrated system. Nothing is acting separately or independently. So one control, an absolutely totalitarian system. Someone is there, although it's not visible. But someone is there who created it all, who is controlling it all. He is the real benefactor. And when the intellect has taken you there, now all praise be to him. All worship for him. All obedience for him. And this is Tawheed. This is the sequence. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. The intellect will tell you who is the real benefactor. And the nature will tell you, you must thank the benefactor. So join these two things together, أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. And this shukr, as I told you, on this very shukr is based the concept of hukuk. When he has created you, he has rights over you. When he is providing you, he has rights over you. When he is looking after you, he has rights over you. In the same way, your parents, they have been caring for you. They have rights over you. Your country, it has rights over you. All this concept of rights, hukuk, and the whole structure of Sharia is based on the concept of hukuk. Hukukullah, hukukulibad. And the second thing I told you, if you cannot do anything in return for the benefactor, you have to praise him, you have to bow before him, you have to glorify him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So this is the logical sequence. This is the bud of the hikmah of Quran exfoliates like this. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whosoever is expressing his thanks, is grateful to Allah, he is doing it for his own self. The benefit will come to him. Allah doesn't need it. He is absolutely self-sufficient. He needs no thanks for him. Actually, if you are thankful, your own personality, your own seerah, it will develop in the correct direction, on the correct lines. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ وَمَن يَكْفُرْ وَمَن كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. I told you, this kufr, we generally know only one meaning of kufr, and that is, kafir is the one who is not believing, the unbeliever, doesn't believe in Allah or the Prophet or Quran and so on. Actually, literally the meaning of the kufr is to hide something, to suppress something. That is why in one ayah of the Quran, the peasant, the tiller of the land, he is called kuffar. كَمَثَلِ غَيْسٍ عَجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيدُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا in Surah Al-Hadid. Because he is also hiding the seed in the clay. So this is kufr. And from this very root is the kaffara. Something which hides the sin, which erases the effects of the sin, that is kaffara. So kufr actually means to suppress something, to remove something, to hide something, to conceal something. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Whosoever conceals this gratitude, he is not grateful to Allah. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need that he must be thanked. He is all sufficient, self-sufficient in himself. And Hamid, he is being praised in every moment, all the time. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. I've already explained. Now, these are the sermons. And just remember the time when Luqman said to his son, and he was, generally the translation has been done, admonishing him. I don't think this is the proper word here. He was advising him. He was teaching him. Was doesn't mean always admonition. Because in admonition there is a negative aspect. But here it's a teaching. And it is generally thought that this was the last advice when Luqman was on his deathbed. And this has been the practice of our ancestors also. Every alim, every imam used to write down his last advice for his sons and daughters and children. That this is actually all that I have been able to gather, the knowledge, the resultant of all my thought and thinking and brooding, this is it that I am transferring to you. Because just as a rich man, he says to his sons, what I have, what are the assets, and I owe something to somebody, or somebody owes something to me. What of a hakim person who is knowledgeable? His all property is the knowledge and the wisdom. So he is transferring that wisdom when he is dying, he is departing. Just as the last sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the eve of the last Hajj. So it's the sort of that occasion he was, telling his son the fruit of his thinking of the whole life. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. Oh my little son. Bunayya. Literally it means little son, but as I told, not necessarily a little son, but for father, son is always like a little son. La tushrik billah. This is the first and the foremost. What can we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The biggest injustice is to associate or assign any partner, any equal with him. They can't do anything except accept him that he is one. He is the alone. All praise be to him. All worship to be reserved for him. Absolute obedience reserved for him. Not to obey anybody except within the limits of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. Not to associate anybody in his person. Not to take somebody or anything to be equal to him or like him in any respect regarding his attributes. Not making anybody or anything equal to him in life. All in all these aspects. Shirk al-zaat, shirk al-sifat, shirk al-huquq. Avoid every form of shirk. As I told you, I have spoken actually on this subject for 6 hours in Urdu. I have 6 tapes, 1 hour tapes, audio tapes in Urdu on the aqsam shirk, the types of shirk, different forms of shirk. And in English, I delivered a lecture on my last visit, and that covers 2 hours only. But that can give you, and here I don't want to go into detail. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily, shirk is a very big injustice. What is zulm in Arabic? They define it, وَضْءُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. Everything has a place of its own. If you remove it from here, place it somewhere else, it is zulm. Now this zulm in shirk, it can take any of the two forms. Either you are bringing down Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his high position to the position of the creatures. Then you are making him equal to any of the creation. Or you are raising any person from the creatures and making him equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually both ways it is true. Bringing Allah down to the level of the creatures. Bringing the Creator down to the level of the creatures. Or taking any of the creatures. Taking him up and making him equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. Both ways it is, وَقُشْ شَئِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. You have displaced the thing from its right place. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And as I told you that the Prophet ﷺ quoted Ayat al-Birr when he said, إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقًّا سِوَ الزَّكَاةِ. You have to pay more from your wealth. More than zakah. Don't think that only this obligatory zakat is sufficient. إِنَّ فِي الْمَالِ لَحَقًّا سِوَ الزَّكَاةِ. And then he quoted the ayah, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ. Zakah has been mentioned separately. So the itaul mal, which has been mentioned before, is something over and above zakah. In the same way, the Prophet once quoted this ayah also in a very important discussion. We have an ayah in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a question. Ayyul fariqayn ahaqqu bil amn in kuntum ta'lamun. There are two types of peoples, the mushriks and the muwahids. People who believe in oneness or unity of Allah, and people who are ascribing partners and equals to Allah. They believe in Allah also, but also they ascribe partners unto Him. Which of these two groups is more entitled to have peace and tranquility? أَيُّ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ أَحَقُّ بِالْأَمْنِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Tell me if you know it. Now after posing this question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is giving the answer. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Only those people who come to believe and then they don't pollute their belief with any form of zulm, only such people are entitled to peace and amn and tranquility. Now the Sahaba got perturbed, concerned, alarmed. They came to the Prophet, said, can there be a person who doesn't do any zulm at all? Because we are doing zulm to ourselves sometimes. Some small mistake, but it becomes a zulm. Can it be possible? لَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Is it possible? It is practical. That somebody should not let his iman be polluted with any zulm at all. Again, please listen to the ayah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. All the such people who have the belief and the faith, and they don't allow, they don't let their faith be polluted with any amount of sin, they are entitled to peace and tranquility. So they said, who can be? For whom it can be possible? Then the Prophet said, here in this ayah, zulm means shirk. And then he quoted, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. So actually, zulm here means shirk. So if you can save your faith from every trace of shirk, then peace and tranquility is guaranteed for you. So that is the meaning of that ayah of Surah Al-An'am. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. وَوَسَّئِنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Now here again, a very important point which I have already mentioned. On the basis of this shukr, the concept of huquq is resting. It starts from shukr. As we know, the first of all you have to have shukr for your creator, your sustainer, your provider, that is Allah. Then there should be shukr. Because in this world, in this material world of cause and effect, a man or a woman for that matter is most indebted to his or her parents. Creator is Allah, but he has come into existence through his parents. Sustainer is Allah, but he has been provided actually, and he has been reared and brought up by the parents. So here, logically, after the haqq of Allah, the first haqq that comes on man is of parents. That is why we find in the Quran, in so many places, let me quote a few, that immediately after the haqq of Allah, haqq of walidain, rights of walidain, of the parents is mentioned. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat 83, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Surah Nisa, Ayat number 36, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Surah Al-An'am, Ayat 151, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا وَاتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Surah Bani Israel, Ayat 23, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Surah Al-Ahqaf, Ayat 15, وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. Then Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayah number 8, وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. So actually, immediately after the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely logically, the first right on us is of the parents. But here is a very beautiful point. When Allah Ta'ala is saying something, He mentions His right and then the right of the parents. But here Hazrat Luqman was talking to the son. He couldn't say that after Allah, my rights are the supreme over you. It didn't appear to be proper for a father to say it. Allah save out everything. Inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. There's no inhibition for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say the truth, whatever it is. But for human beings, it didn't look nice that Hazrat Luqman should say that after the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have the rights, maximum rights over you. That is why here, the gap has been filled by Allah Himself. Although these were the advices of Hazrat Luqman which had started. But here, وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Himself, is filling the gap Himself, so that the subject becomes complete. So that hikmah, that doesn't remain incomplete. That after the shukr of Allah, the next shukr that is due on you is of walidain, of the parents. وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And we had stressed on man the walidain concerning his parents, and among the parents, especially the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَبَيْنِ. And I've given you another example from Surah Al-Ahqaf. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. His mother carried him in her womb with all the difficulty that she was facing. And then when he was born, again she had to bear the pains, birth pains. وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. And 30 months, long months are required for this whole process. And here also we find وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ. Again, for 2 years, he is sought to, so to say, he is suckling the strength and the energies of the mother. So that is the rights of mother are 3 times, as I told you, according to the hadith, as compared to the father. وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ. The same word appears now, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. Eventual return is towards me. You will all come to me. But now here again, see the logic, the sequence, the logical sequence. Now there are 2 shukrs, 2 huquq. Shukr of Allah, shukr of parents. Haqq of Allah and haqq of parents. If there is some collision between the two, some contradiction between the two, if the parents compel you to make shirk, to commit shirk, to associate some partner to Allah, to believe in some gods and goddesses besides that supreme God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what to do? فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. It's a general rule that important subjects are discussed in the Quran at least twice. The same subject has been given in Surah Al-Ankabut. Same ayah. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ لَتُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Only the harf jar ala and lay, they are different. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Here it is ala. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ لَتُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Otherwise the rest of the ayah is the same. Here you don't obey them, both of them. Father as well as mother. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. This is for both of them. But, as I said, this is a very glaring and glorious example of the balance of the teaching of the Quran. It doesn't mean that all their rights, they are finished. They are gone. No. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Give them company in this world with gentleness. Serve them. Be good to them. We shall study, inshallah, in the next part of this selected course of study, Surah Bani Israel. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. You have to be respectful always. وَقْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Keep your shoulders down before them. Don't talk to them arrogantly. All these instructions have been laid down for the parents. But you don't obey them. No father, no mother, I can't do this. This is wrong. This has been forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rights of Allah are more than yours. Even then, I am at your service. I'll be doing whatever, I will be providing whatever you need. And whatever I can provide. Within my own limitations. But I can't obey you to go against the Sharia, against the Deen, against Tawheed. That is forbidden. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden me. I can't do that. Even saying of these words should be in a gentle way, not harshly. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَقْفِزْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلَّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Now here is one more important point in this ayah. مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. If they compel you to associate with me that for which you have no knowledge. Because for shirk, there's no argument. There could be two types of argument theoretically. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us in any of his scriptures that I have associated such and such other persons or angels or beings with me, then we would have had to worship them also. Because it would have been his command. But now, no scripture, none of the scriptures, there's no book which has been claimed to be from Allah, and it might contain anything in favor of or in support of shirk. Number two, there's no argument, no intellectual argument in favor of shirk. This whole universe, as I told you in the beginning, centrally controlled, one will, one wisdom, one planning, one mind working. And now we know it more thoroughly, with the advance of science, how totalitarian this system is, how all these things they are working in concert, as if controlled by some one mind, one purpose, one scheme, one planning. So actually, there's nothing, neither in the revealed books or in the acquired knowledge of man, or based on the intellect of man, we can support shirk. مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. Because there's no knowledge for it, no sound reasons for it, no sound arguments for it. Hence, you cannot ascribe with me any partners. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. follow the path of those who have turned their directions towards me. Now there is a distinction made. Shukra for parents, service to parents, but following who has turned his direction, his faith towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might be maybe a stranger, might not be related to you, might not belong to your own nation, might not have any connection ethnically. But whosoever has turned his face towards me, you have to follow him. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. And if you have the parents who have also turned to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, this is Nurul Ala Nur. As you know, there are parents who are going on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now their sons and daughters, their children, they are very lucky. They are following their parents also. But actually, they are following the deen. They are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if there is some distinction and some, you know, difference and conflict, parents are going in another way, you don't go their way. Have shukr for them. But you have to follow those who have turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Then all of you will have to return perforce to me. فَأُلَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And then I will apprise you all of what you have been doing. What were your deeds? What have you earned in your life, in the worldly life? The good or the evil? Now this actually was something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now again, the advice or the sermon or the wasiyah or the nasiha of Hazrat Luqman is to continue. And now that is the second point, basic point of the hikmah of Quran, which we shall inshallah discuss in the next session. Because regarding the wisdom, basic wisdom and basic philosophy, if you call it, if you like to call it, of Quran, that is also one of the most fundamental points. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.